epistle appointed to be read for today's is taken from the final, from the last Sunday after Pentecost. You'll find it in your book listed as the last, as the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, or the last Sunday. That's the one that we read. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And this morning, for the gospel, I would like for you to follow along, those of you who do not have missals, on the bulletin. And the Holy Gospel. is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or have infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days have been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines even to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles also be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound, and they will gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are several things this morning that we have to talk about. Of course, there will be catechism class this morning. And there will be early notices, of course, for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, as far as all the other important items. But first of all, before I forget it is not in the bulletin, the calendars have not yet arrived. There happens to have been a problem this time. For some reason or other, somebody in proofreading failed to catch that they put Ash Wednesday in the wrong place. So they had to go back and print the calendars all over again. So that was certainly an expensive mistake. We will speak first on the Advent wreath. You have this morning in the vestibule the little purple leaflets. Please take one or more of these. Don't take too many, because I don't know if I have enough for everybody if you do that, but take more than one if you need that. And use these in the little ceremony of the Advent wreath in your homes. I strongly advise the practice of the Advent wreath, and together with the practice of the Advent wreath, you will also notice attached to this day, today's bulletin, the suggested Advent readings. These readings were taken, of course, mostly from the Missal and the Breviary, and are certainly very advantageous in preparing us for the coming occasion of the birth of our Blessed Lord. And with each ceremony of the Advent wreath, plus during the week, of course, the other days of the week, a proper time to do the Advent readings is at that time of the blessing or at the dinner table. And it should be the father or the mother in his absence to make the readings. It is not the place of the littlest child to be able to show that the littlest child can read already. These readings are far too important. They are proclamations, and they can only be made by the ones who are leading in the family circle. So, together with the Advent wreath, these readings should take place, and we strongly, strongly urge these readings. The blessing of the Advent wreath takes place only on Saturday evening, the blessing itself. And each Saturday evening. The other evenings, when dinner is being served, the family is together, of course, the candles are lit, but the ceremony itself does not take place, but the readings do. All right, that takes care of the Advent wreath. Of course, I gave you ample warning already last week about blessing of the bread on the fourth Sunday of the month of Advent. Therefore, ladies, those of you who feel a little uncomfortable about baking bread, you have to bake bread. It has to be you. You may not go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. You have to make it, and that is that. So, God bless you in the process. If it's terrible, then it's terrible, but it's still bread. So don't worry about it. This morning, here in this little basket, we have the usual blessed wheat. I think there's enough for everybody. So if you need more than one package of this blessed wheat, come up here and get what you need. Advent is a time of reconstruction. And the purpose of this blessed wheat is significant. It is not something for the little children to do, though the little children will certainly be the ones to do it most freely. This custom is more for us grown-ups than it is for the little children. My suggestion is for us to go and get one of those, I know you know what they are, everybody use them, the aluminum baking casserole type pans that you get at the grocery store. Everybody knows what they are. And get also some potting soil. But those of you who live in the country, go out and get some out of your garden soil. But in any event, to fill one of these containers and put this container in a prominent location in your household, near the table, or in the living room, or in the principal room. Then the work begins. Every time I am strong enough to hold back my sharp tongue from cutting somebody in two, let me go and get a grain of that wheat and plant it in that soil. Every time that I am able to control my temper, let me take a grain of that wheat and plant that in the soil. Every time that I do not criticize somebody needlessly or speak useless words, let me go and get a grain of that wheat and plant it. And it goes on and on and on. Anytime that I tell the truth in the place of a lie, let me go and get a grain of wheat and plant it. Anytime that I find myself being a hypocrite and curtailing that and putting a stop to it, let me go and get a grain of wheat and plant it. And these little grains of wheat will start germinating and will start showing themselves. And they will grow. And as they grow, you will see the progress that you have been making during Advent. On Christmas Eve, my dear people, on Christmas Eve, when you, the father of the house, blesses the holy crib, you, each one of you, pick up your little planter. And take it to the baby Jesus. You could bring all the silver and gold that you are able to put and bring together. But all the silver and gold that you could put together would not be equal to the awesome power, the awesome magnitude and importance of what's in that little planter. As you see the little grains of wheat grow, and that virtue in you will grow together with the little grains of wheat. My beloved people, as I keep telling you so often, it is not in the big things that people do. It is not in the manifestation of the large actions of piety where our holy religion resides. Our holy religion resides in the littlest things that come out of your hearts. This grain of wheat, which little packets for those who came in late, little packets are up here in this little basket. Please come up and help yourselves. This grain of wheat, though it be presumably aimed at the children and might be looked upon as a child's devotion, it is not. It is your devotion. And you are the ones, my beloved people, because every time you reach in that little packet for a grain of wheat out of this little packet, requires more strength, more manhood, more womanhood, than walks on the streets of the marketplace. It is these little things that will make saints of us all. How small and insignificant this appears to be. There is more power. There is more strength. There is more courage in this little packet of brown paper in my hand than all of the heavy-duty artillery that we see around and about us. What have I given to my God? For all that he has given to me. I'm not sure at the present moment, I haven't looked at the calendar. I might just as well speak of it now, lest perhaps it's different for next Sunday. But in any event, as you know, December the 6th is the Feast of St. Nicholas. You can get a brief notion of St. Nicholas from reading the bulletin today. But for the sake of the littlest children, we strongly suggest that you observe little celebrations of St. Nicholas. It's not Christmas, and the children should be instructed that it is not Christmas. It is St. Nicholas. And if St. Nicholas comes and brings little goodies and places them in little baskets or even in shoes or anything and puts them outside the doors or near the cradles or the beds of different ones in the household. And St. Nicholas might even come to see the older members of the family too. Why should St. Nicholas ignore them? These are the little things that our world is so totally lacking in today. The little things of God, not the big things of man. Then we get ready for Christmas. Some people think, well, it's Advent, therefore we should go into a period, a dreary period. It is penitential. The penance of Advent, my dear people, is in this packet of grain. Right here. It isn't in long prayers. It isn't in pilgrimage. It isn't in anything that you can think of that's big. Advent is entirely in the tiny, each of the tiny little grains of wheat inside this little brown packet. That's where Advent is. Because that proves to God that I am doing my best to conquer that which is evil, that which is bad, that which is proud or pride in me. It's all in this little packet. Please come and empty this basket this morning. And you older folks, I don't care how old you are, plant wheat. And after Christmas, take it outside without disturbing it too much and plant it outside and see it grow. Watch it grow. Water it. Take care of the little children's little packets, little planters, because they might get over generous with the water and cause problems. So look after things. Direct the little children. Tell the little children what it's about. That is Advent. I again, and during this period of time especially, re-emphasize the importance of the home altars, the little home chapels, where you can go to and make your visits. Some of you live great distances from here, and make your visits and say your prayers there. That's where you go. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. I promise to be brief today. Let's hope. You heard the reading of the gospel this morning. This puts the end to the liturgical year. And we read the gospel of the last days, the abomination of desolation. Why do we speak so much of the little things that are so urgently important for us? Each thing, each grain of wheat, goodness gracious, could you possibly think of anything easier on this earth to do than to go and open this packet and take out one little grain? Nothing could be easier. It could be imagined by the human mind. And yet, when compared to the, not to the desolation so much. Let us not make emphasis on the desolation and the disturbance and the inconvenience and the suffering and the hurting and the running and the hiding. Let us not waste our minds on those items, which of course they will be there. Nobody can doubt that. And we should prepare ourselves within reason. The only thing that matters in all of this, the only thing that matters is what condition am I going to be in at that moment? What is going to be my spiritual outlook? What is going to be my spiritual intention? What is going to be my health, the health condition of my soul when that happens? That's all that matters. And all of this phony stuff that goes around amongst so many people today, there they are running about like fleas, looking for something important to attach themselves to so that they can appear to be intellectual or prominent or political or whatever in the eyes of somebody else. The only thing that matters at that moment is when God looks at me, what does he see? God created me in his own image and likeness. And when he calls me, he is going to be looking for that image and likeness. And unless he finds that image and likeness, he will not be satisfied. When he sees me, will he see himself reflected in me? Or, God forbid, will he see a dollar bill? Or a new house, or a political importance, a position of importance. What will he see when he looks at me on that day, or at that moment? My dear people, as I've told you so often, I am not proposing that you live in a monastery or a convent. I'm not proposing that. But I am saying that what applies to these that you see up here applies to you as well. And to any son of God or daughter of God who proposes to be a son or a daughter to God. Nothing has bearing on that. It is unfortunate that we do not come to that realization until it is way too late. Don't come to me, as everybody does, and start giving a litany of the evils of the world. I already know those evils. I don't need the litany. The litany is not important about the evils of the world. Yes, We all are walking in that cesspool. We know that. You know that. In reality, you know more than we do, because you are actually in it, whereas we are at least removed somewhat. The spiritual condition of our souls is the only thing that matters. And the more you have the courage to underline the significant importance of that one statement, and the more you begin to live by the demands that that statement places upon you, my dearest people, to that degree would you be hated. So be it. So be it. It is not the hatred of the world that will overcome the love of God. We are not living in times that are children times. Everything, before I came to Mass this morning, I had to even put it down. Someone handed me something to read of things, here, there, and everywhere, things. I said, this is no preparation for Mass. This is not what I should have in my mind as I go up to the altar of God. Blessed people, do not be afraid. Or discouraged. Do not ever give in to discouragement. Not ever. Because discouragement is the open door for him who will deceive you. Do not ever do that, dearest people. Have courage. Go forth. Do what you know to do without fear or trepidation. Next Sunday we start Advent. Do the things that you know to do. If your neighbors come in and laugh at you and look at your house as something ridiculous, let them laugh. However, I will insist, do not make a morgue of your life in that house. Christmas is behind it. Christmas is beautiful. And all of this is in preparation for this great feast. It must be a penitential period of time. But for goodness sake, for the sake of everybody in the house, let it be a joyous time, a happy time, a blessed time, a beautiful time. It can be. And to the degree that you bring beauty into that house, you parents, to that degree will the beauty of the infant shine forth. Remember one thing, what I always say. You can see this more than we do because you might be exposed to it more than we are. But every time you turn the TV on, or every book you pick up, or every advertisement you look at, or whatever, everything is being presented by monsters with great big mouths and huge teeth, ugliness every place, teeth, mouth that is coming out ready to gobble you up. And the little children see those monsters. Don't get rid of the good, wholesome fantasies of Christmas. Which do you prefer? The wholesome fantasy or the monster? And there are those who call the wholesome fantasies lies. How dare them? Of course they're not true. And as the children grow older, they will find out. But they will love. And they will have in their heads the vision, let me say, of sugar plum fairies. Okay. That's better than a gobbling monster. Blessed people, let's put first things first and keep them there for the sake of everybody concerned. May Almighty God bless you, my precious people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. May this blessing stay with you today and forever.